This morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to get away from the Sermon on the Mount just for this week. I'd like to present a challenge for this year. Forgive me if I'm a bit slow finding passages today. I got a new Bible for Christmas and it's not broken in yet. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and begin in verse 6. The Bible says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers, in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its thoroughness. Thank you that it teaches us all things by of grace and godliness by which we might come to thee. And Lord, as we open your word this morning, I ask that you would affect our hearts by it and that you would place this in our hearts throughout this year that we might accept the challenge to be in your word this year and to learn of thee. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says here that a good minister puts the brethren into remembrance of these things, kind of scattered throughout this passage. But among these things, it says to give attendance to reading. So this is a command both to Timothy to give attendance to reading. So when to pay attention to it, to put it as a place in your life, to attend when there is public reading. And people look at this both ways. Some say, well, it's to do with attending all the public reading of Scripture. Others is to give attention in your own life that you attend your daily Bible. I think it's both ways. I really do. Give attendance to reading the Scripture. That is a command both for the preacher, but not just for the preacher, but for every Christian. It says here in the general idea of the passage that a good minister will put the brethren in remembrance of them also giving attendance to reading. We've been greatly blessed in our church. Pastor Bone always asked at this time of year how people are doing. How'd you do? And I'm going to keep up with the tradition here. How many people read their Bible all the way through last year? A few. Great. I didn't make it. In fact, to be perfectly honest, I did worse this last year. I started out well, and I did worse than I have in quite some time. But we've always had, this time of year, we've always had a good challenge from Pastor Bond, and we need to not ever drop that tradition. We need to remember that we need to read our Bibles through every year. We need to be in the Word. We need, even if you don't read it through, you need to have devotions. You need to put the Bible in place in your life. Like I said, I'm far from a good example or what I should be in this area, but it is a necessity. It's something that we need. And it's something that the Bible here, as we see in this passage, a good minister reminds those who are among his brethren to give attendance to reading. And of these things that we're to be reminded of, it says that if we take heed unto thyself, now it's to the minister, but also he's to be referring these things to the brethren he's teaching. So also for him, Timothy, to tell his congregants, if you will, take heed to themselves and unto the doctrine, continuing in them. For in doing this, in doing all these things that are in this passage, including give attendance to reading, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So it's, again, them that hear thee, it's specifically to Timothy, but it's also to the church. People hear your life, whether you're speaking or not, people hear your life. And if your life is in the Word, your life is reflective of the Word. And people will hear the gospel through you. People will see Jesus in you. People, you will know what to say when someone asks you a question. It's important that we continue in the Word, in exhortation. That's sharing the Word. That's sitting down and talking to each other about the Bible. Your pastor came over to our house on Friday. And we had some fun sledding with the kids outside and came in and chatted about whatever. But the conversation turned to the Scripture. And that was the best part of the visit in my books. You know, we visited probably more about the Bible. And we just started asking each other random questions about, well, what about this in the Bible? What about that? It was just fun. It was exhorting. We weren't sitting there saying, well, you need to be this better Christian in this area. That's part of exhortation. But exhortation's bigger than that. It's just encouraging each other in the Scripture. Encouraging each other to think about the Scriptures, speak of it, and so forth. And we had a good time in the Word. So this year, what I want to do, because I've never seen in our church where the question is asked, how many people read their whole Bible through in a year? I've never seen every hand go up. Some years better than others. I have to say some years were better than this. But this year, I'm going to present a challenge to encourage us to read through the Bible this year. And what I'm going to do is, I have a $100 bill, and the first person to read through their Bible this year gets $100. All right, so there's going to be a race, and we'll keep track of it. We're still kind of in the works of how to keep track of it, but you must at least keep track as you go with notes and so forth, and I'll get into that. But the first person to read through their Bibles this year, we're going to give $100. And if anybody else wants to add a prize for a second place or third place or anything like that, that's completely up to you. But this is what I want to do. And excuse me. I hope that it will make it stick a little bit more. And we're going to go through that this morning. Instead of preaching on the Beatitudes, I'm going to look at what it takes to read the Bible, and especially in light of a challenge, because some people are going to think, that's the wrong incentive to read your Bible for money. I know some people thought that. And I'm going to look at that in a moment. And then some people are going to think, well, how are you going to keep people from cheating? And we're going to look at that. So we're going to look at a few things here this morning, but I want to start by saying that this year, the first person to read through the Bible, at least unless somebody adds some prizes, but right now, the first person to read through their Bible this year gets $100. All right? So, when I say, or when I read where Paul said to Timothy, "Till I come, give attendance to reading," I'm giving that challenge to this church that this year, give attendance to your reading. Mark it down. Let's see who can make it. And just in looking at the future a little bit, when somebody wins, don't you quit. All right? Just because you didn't make it, don't quit. I am hoping that by in between now and then, you'll be getting into a habit or getting into just, hey, this is interesting. You'll just keep going. Another thing that I want to say, and I'm going to say it again, probably several times, is this isn't just for the kids. I want every person involved in this. And adults, I want you to be part of it, not just for the $100. I mean, it's the prize is just as much available to you. And actually, don't do it because you think, oh, well, I'll leave the prize for a kid. Probably a kid's going to beat you because they have more time. Okay? So get involved because the Bible tells us to read. That, excuse me, you'll be a good example to your children. And it's necessary. It's necessary. And hey, if you get $100, you get $100. All right? And you don't, if you're worried about it being the wrong incentive, any of you adults or children, if you don't think that $100 is something that you should, then if you're first place, pass it off to second place or put it back in missions or something like that. It's the prize is there as a goal, okay? What you do with it is completely up to you. It's just a goal to get there. But I want to see adults and kids alike on this. Just as a little bit of a side note, I thought about, and I'm not going to do this, but I thought, you know, if we put Proverbs 11 into practice, where it says that the diligent shall have a reward and the slothful shall pay tribute, we could make the last person pay the price. That would give you incentive to not be last either. But I didn't think that'd go over very well. So we could do that, though. And just throwing that out there, we could make second prize be paid by the last person. All right. So let's go to Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. The Bible tells us that we need to read the Bible. Not only in 1 Timothy 4, 6. And Brother Jonathan, we can call this message this morning either give attendance to reading or just read your Bible. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4. We all know the verse, but Jesus said, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. There's a basic question here that I think we fail to remember. We fail to ask ourselves. Did you eat today? How many people did not have breakfast? Did not have breakfast. All right, a few people. You expect when you get up in the morning to eat some food. And then later in the day, you eat again. Then evening comes, you eat again. And you think, well, if I don't eat, I'm not going to be healthy. If I don't eat, I'm not going to have strength. And if you miss a meal and you're going along, man, I'm so hungry. I haven't eaten in 2 hours. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We don't live under direct revelation. We live with the written word of God, the completed scripture. And we do ourselves a great disservice. In fact, the greatest disservice when we don't live by the word. When we don't make this word a part of our lives, a part of our decisions. Oh, this thing's going on in my life and I don't know what to do. Have you even considered maybe the Bible says something about that? Maybe not that directly. Maybe you won't open it and it'll say verbatim, in this kind of instance you will do this. Might not say that, but there's a lot of principles that will apply. There's principles for everything in the scripture. There's answers for it all. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Who can quote for me Psalm 1, verse 2? Psalm 1 and verse 2. You can start at the start of Psalm 1 if that will help you. Amen. For his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Day and night. The Christian, the believer, the one who flourishes in righteousness, delights in the law of the Lord, meditates in it day and night. That means it's in your mind. And the meditation there doesn't just mean times that you sit down and you just think about the Bible. I'm not talking about modern meditation. Okay? It's permeating your mind. You think about it in relation to everything you do. For you to meditate day and night means it is part of all that you do. What would Jesus do about this? What does God say about this? How does the law apply in this area? And not saying that we're under the law, but the law is a schoolmaster to bring us unto God. It teaches us all holiness. It is an example unto us. That is what that passage means. In John 17, verse 17, we find that Jesus is actually praying that you would be reading your Bible. Do you know that? That Jesus is praying you would be reading your Bible? In Christ's prayer for all believers, he said, "Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth." Now, Jesus is not praying that you learn the Bible by osmosis. He's not. He's not praying that some verse that you glanced at while somebody was preaching 5 years ago is going to pop into your memory. And you'll meditate on that today. Now, I'm not saying that won't happen, but that's not Jesus' prayer for you. Jesus is right now praying for you, every single individual believer. So that means you. Sanctify them, which means cause them to grow more like me. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. In other words, Jesus is praying that you'll read your Bible and learn and grow while you're doing so. Think about that. So when we fail to read our Bibles, and this is convicting, when we fail to read our Bibles, we are denying God Himself an answer to His own prayer. That's pretty weighty. It's pretty weighty. Now, why have a reward? Why have a reward? Well, the Bible says much about rewards for labor, doesn't it? Jesus, time and time again, used payment for labor as an illustration of the effectualness and the growth and the purposes within His kingdom. So there's actually a good basis to have a reward for labor. The Bible also says that reading, studying, and learning the Word is labor. The Bible calls it that. If we're to really glean from the Scriptures what we ought to glean, we have to work at it, don't we? Also, excuse me, that just when we think of it in perspective of time, maybe you don't consider reading your Bible as work, but you're too busy doing work, and so you say, well, because I've got this work to do, I don't have time to read my Bible. So, count, if you will, your Bible time as part of your necessary labor. If that's what it takes for you to put it in your schedule, count it as part of your work. And if you win, you'll get paid for it. excuse me. The Bible has a lot to say about rewards for labor. And we're not going to get into all of that this morning because that's more on the work side of it. What I want to look at more is the Bible also talks about rewards for a race. And as that's the way we're approaching it, we're going to look at that. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We have here a physical race compared to a spiritual life race. And we're going to look at verses 24 through 27. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There is a great description of what we're about to do. We're going to run a race. And I hope that we're all going to run this race. We're running the race to receive a prize. And you could say, well, maybe we shouldn't have second and third prizes because it says one receiveth the prize. Well, I guess how literally you want to take it. But so run that ye may obtain. Don't not run because, well, somebody else is going to beat you. You don't know that. Everybody else might be just as lazy as you are. So run that ye may obtain. What if, now his correlation here is the Olympic runners. What if an Olympic runner, skier, whatever, an Olympic athlete, somebody who was pretty decent as a kid, said, well, I'm never going to make it to that level. So they didn't try. They'll never know if they would have made it to that level or not. Growing up, Canada, there's a lot of hockey. Everybody I knew all wanted to be hockey stars. And I can't say that it didn't cross my mind too. but I know some guys that got into Little League and then bigger leagues. And I don't know if I know anybody that made it NHL. I feel like I knew somebody who made it into the backup and one of the backup teams. But they tried. And the one step at a time, they got better and better. I never went beyond just homeschool leagues. But and it wasn't even consistent at that. But if I had really wanted to, I would have had to work at it harder, right? I would have had to actually put that focus in, not, well, I'll never make it, so don't try. That wasn't my response either with it, with that. It's just, I didn't see, it would have been fun, I just didn't see much point. But you have, if you've got a goal, an athletic goal, it takes work. The goal is the prize, but you have to run to obtain that prize. You can't take a shortcut. You don't get it by osmosis. You don't get it by looking good. And you certainly don't get it by not trying. They which run in a race, run all. Everyone is trying, but one receiveth the prize. And then he doesn't say any kind of discouragement. He says, so run, that ye may obtain. I give you that same challenge today. So run, that ye may obtain. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Well, we're going to have to reorganize some parts of our life, aren't we? to make this a regular
part of our life. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. And I'm combining the two this year. This is corruptible, but I'll guarantee you, if you do this, you'll gain some incorruptible value in your life. Paul said, I therefore run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep my body under, I keep under my body and bringeth it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. There is great spiritual value in what we're about to do. Whether or not you gain the corruptible prize, you will gain an incorruptible. I can guarantee that by the power of God's word. Paul also said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, I press towards the mark the high calling. We're setting a mark, but there is a higher mark that is right alongside of it. I looked it up, and it only takes 70 hours to read through the Bible cover to cover at pulpit rate. So the average speed in which public reading is done, for everybody to understand, it only takes 70 hours to read through the Bible. We look at the Bible and say, oh my goodness, it's going to take me forever to read that. Man, read the Bible through in a year? Oh, that's pushing it. It only takes 70 hours. You know how many hours that is in relation to other stuff that we do? Most guys work a 40 to 60 hour work week. If you're only working a 40 hour work week, that's not even 2 weeks. Some guys, and I've done this, work a 100 hour work week. That's not even a full week. If you put work aside for a week, you could read the whole Bible in a week. Okay? If you look at it as, 10 hours a week, it'd only take you 2 months. Really, if you do it as one of the standard ways is 3 chapters a day and 5 on Sunday, that only takes you a couple minutes a day. And then you'll do it in a year. So whichever way you do it, it doesn't take that long to read through your Bible. Standard, out loud reading only takes 70 hours. One hard work week. 2 basically standard ones. Well, you say, what about cheaters? Putting a prize up there, and certainly somebody's going to, whether or not they start this way, along the way they're going to start skim reading or just take a note or just say that they did it. What about cheaters? How are you going to control that? Well, first of all, if you're going to be part of it, for whoever wasn't here this morning, has got to go back and listen to this so they know what the rules are. And I think we need to announce that for at least a couple weeks in the announcements. Go back and listen to this. But you need to know what the Bible says about cheaters. So, first of all, you need to understand that this $100 is not me giving it to the winner, all right? I gave this $100 to God. And basically whoever wins is gaining this from the Lord. So I'm not putting my fingers on this at all. It's not going to matter to me who wins or not. I gave this to God, and He's going to take care of the rest. So why I'm telling you that is you're striving to get a reward from God. Which means this is God's money. which means you better be careful about what you're thinking about it. All right? If you want it for any covetousness or if you gain it by any deceit, God's got some things to say. Jeremiah chapter 17. And we'll establish some basic rules to know that that you're being honest in your reading. But we're going to go by faith that you are being honest. We're not going to go through and too much accountability. That's going to be between you and God. But there is going to be some basic, and it's more just for your own good to know that you're actually getting something out of what you read. But Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 5 through 10. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Folks, the Bible says that the Lord blesses those that when he's tried them, he sees they've done it honestly, they've done it towards his righteousness, they've done it for him. We love to think about those things, dwell on them, speak of them, but the Bible also says hand in hand, he curses those who use his ways by deceit and for covetous ends. That's heavy. There's a curse there. There's a curse there. 1 Corinthians 9:25, as we were just at, where it says the conditions of the race is they're temperate in all things. It means you control yourself. You don't take shortcuts. You don't wish that, oh man, I wish I was better, so I'm not really going to try that hard. No. You're temperate in all things. You choose to do what is best for the goal, to reach the goal. In Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, we know the account of Ananias and Sapphira. But I want you to think about verse 4. When Peter looks at Ananias and says, you have not lied to men, but lied unto God. If anyone aims for this prize and takes any shortcuts along the way, I'll tell you something. Myself and Pastor Derek, we're going to believe you. But I'm also warning you, you're not lying to us. You're not lying to anybody in this church. You're lying to God. And what happened to two other people who lied to God? They fell down dead right then. Now I hope if someone listens to this and decides to go ahead and lie anyway, that God doesn't knock you over dead. And I'm not saying he's going to either. But I can guarantee you that God still doesn't take that lie lightly. And that God still says that we are cursed if we lie to him. In Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26, where we have the blessings and the cursings, you say, oh, that's under the law. It's still the holiness of God. Deuteronomy chapter 27 and verse 26 says, cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. God told Moses to tell the people, Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of the law to do them. Now, you see, how does that apply to the Bible reading? Well, if you skim through and you just do the basics to slide by on the rules, nothing in the Bible is really being confirmed to you, and you're certainly not going to do them because you don't know them. You're going to be confirming to others that you know them when you don't. And if you read this passage, the cursings that were placed upon Israel if they did not do these things, it's no wonder Israel had such a hard time when they left God. God told them to begin with all the things that would happen. You don't want to lie to God. You don't want to confirm to men that you're a godly person when you're not, because God knows the heart. Jeremiah chapter 48. Jeremiah 48 and verse 10. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. Folks, we just started with God said, read your Bible. So even if you don't feel like you're doing the work of the Lord because you're not a missionary, you're not a pastor, you're not a teacher, you're not whatever. If you're reading your Bible, that's the work of the Lord. He told you to do it. He told you to go out in His fields and labor. It begins with reading your Bible. And it says, Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully. So folks, if you start looking at the prize rather than the purpose, and taking shortcuts to gain the prize, then you're practicing deceit. And don't go there. Don't go there. That is not where you want to be before the Almighty God. 2 Peter. 2:14. Having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. If you want to say that Deuteronomy and Jeremiah are talking to Old Testament saints, this verse does away with that argument. Having a heart that they have exercised with covetous practices, they are cursed children. God still curses those who have an appearance of godliness, but are doing it out of covetousness, out of what I can get for me. That needs to get our attention. Lying to God is serious, and I'm going to tell you this. Like I said, you might not drop dead like Ananias and Sapphira. You might, but you might not. But I will tell you this. If you try to win this with any kind of deceit, it will be the worst $100 you ever touch in your life. I can guarantee you that. It will bring problems to you rather than blessing, because God has promised at least that much in His Word. How much He judges, that's up to Him. But it will be no less than that. It'll be the worst $100 in your life. Proverbs 22 and verse 4 says, By humility and fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. If we're humble, if we fear the Lord, we trust that God is, He keeps His word. He's an honest and righteous judge, and He knows all things. The Bible says if we know these two things and we live by these two things, He'll bless us with riches and honor and life. It doesn't say that we're all going to be rich and famous and wonderful, but it says that God does bless with all those things as He sees fit, as we walk His way. So how are we doing this? I have a notebook, and we need to come up with some kind of checklist, probably just a standard checkboxes for every chapter in the Bible, and you can check it off in whatever order you want. There's so many different patterns of Bible reading, and they all work. It's just opening your Bible that gets it done, all right? So whether you want to do it from beginning to end, which is the way I'm doing it, whether you want to do it some of the Old Testament, some of the New Testament, which is what my kids are doing to kind of get a better picture of all of it at the same time and not get dug down in the genealogies and so forth. or whether you want to do it the New Testament first, I don't care which way you do it. Okay, we're going to get a general checklist, which I didn't get one together. But it'll just have every chapter on the Bible with a little checkbox, and you check them off. But also, you're going to have a notebook. You're going to get your own notebook, okay? And what I've done is you write down your date. That way you know what day it was. And if you don't do it every day, that'll help you remember when the last day you did it was, okay? And when you look back, when did I read this? You can figure it out. So you write down your date. You write down what you read. Yesterday I read Genesis 1 through 7 and Psalm 119. And then write down the basic idea of the passage you read. So Genesis 1 through 7, you have creation, fall, and then Noah. You don't have the flood yet, but you have Noah. And then I want you to write at least one thing. You don't have to write a whole discourse on everything you read, but write one note, something that stuck out to you. And it doesn't have to be anything special, just even if one verse pops out at you. Write one thing for every section you read. So, like I read in Genesis and Psalms, so I wrote a note from Genesis and a verse from Psalms. something that caught my attention that I had never noticed before is, did you know Noah took 7 of all birds on the ark? I didn't know that. We always read he took 7 of the clean and 2 of everything else. So you think, okay, 7 doves, 7 chickens, 7 of the clean birds. No, it says 7 of the clean, 2 of the unclean, and 7 of all fowls. Just like that. So all those children's pictures you see of 2 ostriches following 7 chickens or 7 doves, they're wrong. There were 7 ostriches on the ark. There were 7 of all birds. And it's interesting that I went from that for myself, and I went to Deuteronomy 14, where it talks about what's clean and what's unclean. And it says there that all the unclean fowl, the osprey, the hawks, the herons, the ravens, and the bats, and so forth. But when you compare that with Genesis 6, it only says all fowls. So of the unclean fowls, there was probably 7 hawks on the boat. There was probably 7 bats on the boat. The 7 of all fowls. I didn't know that. And you know what that led me to find out? Reading Deuteronomy 14 again, it says, if the unclean, every creeping thing that flieth is unclean. Which means, it answered another question I've had. Why does the Bible specify that John the Baptist lived on locusts and honey? I mean, it doesn't tell us what other people lived on. Because Jews looked at John and said, he's weird. He's eating unclean. He's living on locusts and honey. Every creeping thing that flies shall be unclean. So guess what? Just by reading through a passage and following up on something that stuck out at me a little bit, I learned not just one thing, but a couple things. It's really easy to do. But even if you don't go down the line, because I usually get off on rabbit trails and do stuff like that, maybe you're not like me, but you are required to take at least one note. All right, Noah took seven of all birds. Deuteronomy 14. And so even if that's all you write, Noah took seven of all birds. It's something that proves you read it and that something stuck with you. It's also something that, because you wrote it down, it'll stick in your memory and it'll affect you the rest of your life. But also when you're flipping back through pages, you can go, where was it that I thought of? And it'll be written down. Okay? So I wrote, Noah took seven of all birds. Deuteronomy 14, clean and unclean. Locusts were unclean. That's why the Bible notes that John the Baptist ate them. And then in Psalm 119, which I've read many times, but the verse that stuck out at me this time was verse 18, which we're going to close with this morning. Psalm 119, verse 18. I don't know if we're going to keep track of as we go along with this, or if just to be the one to gain the prize, you have to turn your notebook into Pastor and he can skim through it just to make sure that there's notes and all that. So to win, you have to check off a box, however many boxes. You have to write down your date and what the passage you read that day. And you write at least one note from each passage that you read. So if you're reading in two places, write a note from here and a note from there. And obviously you have to get through your Bible first. But Psalm 119 and verse 18. Maybe you're thinking, well, I don't know how to get something from the Bible. Usually that problem is from not reading, not from reading and not getting. But if you feel like, I don't know how to get something out of my Bible reading, Psalm 119, verse 18 needs to be our prayer every day. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And I pray that that will be the effect of this challenge, that we will come through this year with a greater knowledge of the wondrous things that are in God's Word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day and thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for the freedom to each of us own a Bible. Lord, so many people around the world today don't have that freedom. Thank you for the opportunity and thank you for the value of the readiness of these pages of Scripture that you've preserved for us, that we might know you in your power, in your fullness, in your presence, in all these wonderful things. Open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of thy law. In Jesus' blessed name, amen. Pastor.